You may be turning to the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to be looking at Russia's role in the Middle East. I think it only fair to you in the beginning to point out to those of you who may not be aware that there are two points of view on Russia's invasion of Israel. So far as I know, among reputable fundamental students of prophecy, the reputable ones are those who agree with me, of course, that everybody agrees that Russia is going to invade Israel. The only thing there is some difference of opinion on is the timing. There is a point of view which many prophetic students take, that Russia will invade Israel and be destroyed, as described in the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel. And then after this, later, sometime in a later period, the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. In other words, the invasion of Israel by Russia and the Battle of Armageddon, in the viewpoint of many, are two different battles, two different invasions of the land of Israel. I have not been able to put that together yet. I can't see it. I've tried, but I have not been able to see it. So I will be discussing this from the point of view that the invasion led by Russia is the Battle of Armageddon. And I'm not asking you to accept that as the law and gospel. You might find after your study of the scriptures that you come to the other conclusion and you may be right. We'll sit down on the corner of the curb in the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem during the millennial reign and apologize to each other and find out which one was right about it. But I will be approaching this from the point of view that the battle discussed in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the Battle of Armageddon. In verses 2 and 3 of Ezekiel 38, the prophet says, Son of man, or God says to the prophet, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Gog is the person who is leading. Magog, Meshech, and Tubal are the lands from which he comes. Probably a little more clearly stated, that would read the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Some versions so render it. And these words are old forms of Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. We'll read like this to get this maybe clearly in your mind. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And if we revert to the old forms, set thy face against Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. And I find that there is little question in the minds of any that the land of Russia is clearly identified in this invasion that is discussed. Verse 15, if you will take a look, further identifies it geographically. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding on horses, great company, and mighty army. Out of the north parts. Now bear in mind that the point of reference here is Palestine. This we will establish clearly a little further along. But the point of reference is Palestine. And the invasion originates north of Palestine. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. I think Russia's ambitions in the Middle East are very clearly known today. If they are not, you haven't been reading the newspaper or listening to the news on radio and television, because she is deeply involved in the Middle East, rallying all the allies to her cause that she can in among the Arab world and in Africa. And some she has gained and lost, and some she still holds. But her ambitions, obviously, very obviously, are clearly to gain control of the Middle East. And the only deterrent to that success, apparently, is the fact that the United States of America is, or at least has been, the unshakable ally of Israel. And this threatened confrontation holds Russia at bay. How long? We will wait and see. But Russia doesn't invade alone when they come into this land. If you look, beginning at verse 4, you'll find that Russia has considerable company, and some of the areas that will be invading with Russia are clearly named. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. So then let me pause right here and say that there has been, some have made some considerable point of the fact that Russia is supposed to have been busily buying up all of the horses in the world that she can. I have never been able to see too much significance in that, but it wouldn't be the first time I have been wrong if I am wrong on that. But because I think the language used here discusses warfare in the light of weapons that were used at the time the prophet wrote, not in the light of present-day weapons of warfare. Now we move on to verse 5, and he begins to name some of the areas that will be geographically aligned with Russia in this invasion. Persia, which is present-day Iran. If you remember just a few years ago, in Iran, they celebrated the 2500th anniversary of Persia. They marched with the old Persian, clearly identified Persian armor and horse paraphernalia as the parade passed by, clearly identifying Iran as the site of Persia. They identify Persia as being 2,500 years old in the person of Iran. In fact, some world maps up until recent years where Iran was listed had in parentheses under Iran, Persia. There is no question on this geographically, so far as I know. Ethiopia is listed. And up until just very recently, some were saying, well, this doesn't add up because Ethiopia is not aligned with Russia. Ethiopia seems to be more friendly to the United States of America. But what about tonight? Tonight, Russia and Cuba are involved up to their red bloody necks in Ethiopia, trying to get hold of a base to close the entrance to the Red Sea. If they can secure a base where the guerrillas are fighting in Ethiopia, they're opposing the Somalis, but they're primarily interested in the little point, what's known as the Horn of Africa, the little point that juts out at the entrance to the Red Sea. They already have a base across that neck on the other side in Aden. If they can get if they can use the fight of the against the guerrillas in Ethiopia as an excuse to get a base established on the Horn of Africa, they will be in position to close the bottleneck of the south end of the Red Sea. This will close off the American tanker transportation through the Suez Canal. It will close Israel's southern port and help to further bottle up the little land of Israel. Russia, along with her Cuban ally, is playing for high stakes in Ethiopia today, and it's significant that Ethiopia is listed here in this invasion. And Libya with them. There is no question about where Libya stands with relation to Israel. They're perhaps the most militant and outspoken enemy of Israel in the North African Arab world today. Perhaps the only reason they haven't been more active in attacking Israel is because they're separated from the Israeli border by Egypt, which is a little more moderate, and they're not getting along too well with Sadat and the Egyptians today. But Libya is listed and is in battle station. What I'm saying to you is that these countries are taking their battle stations now. Iran or Persia is trying to play it cool and play both sides of the street, but sooner or later they're going to be like the preacher that had preached against stealing watermelons in his service on Sunday night. Rather strongly on the way home, he unfortunately had to pass by a lovely patch of watermelons that were ripe and shining in the moonlight, and he stepped slowed as he came by, and he finally said, Lord, I know what I said tonight. And he said, I'm going to get up on this fence and I'm going to just sit here. If I fall off in the road, I'll just go on home. If I fall off on the side toward the watermelon patch, I'll take that as a cue to get a watermelon. And he sat there until midnight, and every time he nearly fell toward the road, he grabbed the rail. And finally he said, Lord, it looks like I'm not going to fall either way. If it's all right with you, I'm just going to lead a little toward the watermelon patch. Now that's what's going to happen to Iran eventually. They are trying to play both sides of the game, but eventually the prophet says that Persia, Iran, is going to take their place, their battle station, along with Russia for this invasion. Verse 6 lists Gomer and all his bands in the house of Togarma of the north quarters. And this takes in Turkey, what was one time known as Asia Minor. And it seems that these people also spill over into the Balkan area now, and perhaps even take in a part of Germany at least. This is the area that is under discussion. And so if you look here, what has happened, this description has built a crescent around the nation of Israel, led by Russia out of the north quarters. And the thing that adds to this is the latter part of this verse 6, and many people with thee. Many nations, many peoples that are not listed here. These are listed in particular as being strongly in alliance, apparently, with Russia. But many people with thee. In fact, if I am correct in saying that this is the Battle of Armageddon, Zechariah 14:2, God says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Some ask me occasionally, where is America going to fit in this thing? My answer is simply this: if there is an America when this takes place, which is not a guaranteed thing, the way things are going, this nation has to be judged. There's no way we can escape the judgment of God. If what a man sows, he also reaps, and what a nation sows, it also reaps. But if there is an America when this takes place, we'll be involved like everybody else, because God means what he says when he says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem. God will, of course, until he's ready for Russia's invasion, control Russia's ambitions for his own timing. For an example, in the Yom Kippur War, Russia was strongly tempted to make this strike wind up the battle, and they had already put one ship in port at Alexandria in Egypt. They had another on the way when the President of the United States sent out an alert to all of America's military forces. Russia got the message, And they stopped the ship in the Mediterranean and turned it around and pulled the one out of the Alexandria harbor. Now, I think that's a part of what the prophet is talking about here. God put hooks in Russia's jaws and pulled her back and said, I'm not ready for you to get into this thing yet. The time will come when you will invade, not from Egypt, but from the north part. The time of Russia's alliance and invasion, I think, is clear in verse 8. If you will look there just a moment. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. There are about three things that time this thing. One is in the latter years. The term that is used here, as Paul uses it and other prophets of the Old Testament use, referring to the end time, the latter days. Paul in the 3rd chapter, 2 Timothy, says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Another thing that identifies the time is that it is after Israel has been regathered from the nations after her dispersion and has been restored to the land. Notice the expression, come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. It is going to be after the nation of Israel has been reestablished, having been regathered from the countries to which they had been dispersed for many centuries. And one other thing that puts this thing to a little finer point, and they, talking about Israel, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now, Israel doesn't dwell safely today, and she knows it. She's well aware of it. I think some things the Bible says, some things Brother Cross believes. But I think the Bible teaches, as far as I'm concerned, it's made rather clear that the Antichrist will deceive Israel into receiving him as her Messiah. And it seems that the master stroke would be to replace Israel's temple on Mount Moriah and settle the Middle East problem. They'd say that has to be the Messiah. And I think that's what's going to happen. And then is the time that it will appear for the moment that Israel dwells safely. Now, if that be true, I think the timing places this invasion within the tribulation period. And so the timing we know is after Israel, it's yet future, it's after Israel has been restored to the land, and it appears to be within the tribulation period, the time that Russia will invade the land. The preceding chapters deal with the prophecies of Israel's regathering to the land. We looked at the 36th chapter extensively, prophesying of Israel's return to the land and the land's response, and the 37th chapter dealing with the restoration of the nation of Israel. And we come into the 38th chapter, a continuation of the same time period. And these preceding chapters indicate that it's after Israel has been regathered, as well as the statement here, the establishment of the nation. And this focuses the expression, the latter years, as being after the restoration of the nation of Israel, the closing years of the long period known as the times of the Gentiles, the 21st chapter of Luke in verse 24. When the times of the Gentiles is coming to a close. And again, here is one of the reasons that I see this as the Battle of Armageddon. I think this will finish up the times of the Gentiles, because in this, in the 39th chapter, the prophet clearly states that 5/6 of this massive invading army will be destroyed in the land of Israel. That being true, the Gentile civilization will be destroyed. And that certainly will conclude the times of the Gentiles. They will be fulfilled. And so I think there is an overlapping here of the end of the times of the Gentiles, as well as the invasion of Israel by the Gentile powers of the earth, who try to destroy Israel and take their land, only to be defeated. Now, I think it is unmistakably clear now that Russia will ultimately invade Israel. There are not many things that you've noticed that I say in prophecy that I'm rather dogmatic about, and anything that involves a time and a place for a particular event, I give a little leeway, because there's always room for variance in prophetic interpretation. But I think it's very clear that ultimately Russia will invade the land of Israel. Now, verse 8 gives four things that identify Israel as the target. We've looked at this 8th verse as to the timing of the invasion, but notice these things in that same 8th verse that identify Israel as the target of this invasion in Ezekiel 38. First, speaks of the land that is brought back from the sword. That certainly is the land of Israel. It has been under the sword. As we say today, it's been under the gun for many centuries. It has changed hands from the Crusaders to the Turks to the Muslims to the British, finally brought back from the sword to the people of Israel, back in their covenant land. The second thing that is identified here is that it is a land that where the people have been gathered out of many people. There is no nation on earth, including America, that is made up of a people that have been gathered from as many nations and as many continents as the nation of Israel today. They have come from every quarter of this earth and from every continent on this earth. They have come, gathered out of many people. The third thing, the mountains of Israel seems to leave no question as to the target. The invasion will be against the mountains of Israel. And as you have seen on the map that we have looked at, that Israel is largely made up of mountains, with the exclusion of the coastal plains and the Jordan Valley. It is mountains. That's about the size of it. And so the mountains of Israel is clearly stated. And finally, the fourth item is, which has been always waste. The mountains of Israel, which has been always waste. We have looked already at how desolate and barren the mountains and plains of Israel had become, and how the cities had been wasted until it was a barren land. And now, the land that is to be invaded is a land that was one time waste, but the nation has been regathered to it. So the target, unquestionably, is Israel, a land that is brought back from the sword. Milton B. Lindbergh, who writes on this subject, has stated that Jerusalem has suffered 46 sieges, captures, and destructions since David's day, and it's been leveled with the ground 17 times. If that isn't a land that has been brought back from the sword, I don't know where you'd go to find it. And so I am inclined to agree with him. Now, further about the fact that Russia will ultimately invade the land, beginning at verse 14, let's look at a few verses here. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou know it? And again, we come to the point that when Israel is invaded by Russia, they are going to think they are safe and secure. If you will look at the 6th chapter of Revelation, you find what I think is a description of the 4 stages of the reign of the Antichrist. He comes in peaceably, riding up on a white horse. This is when he seems to give the world peace, and especially Israel security. and they let down their guard, they let down their defenses, and have no protection. And that's what is under discussion here. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land. What other land does God call my land? I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Now, this is an expression that God has used several times. If you look back in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, you'll find that in verse 23, that God, after having said that he isn't bringing Israel back to their land for their sakes, he's bringing them back for his holy name's sake. And then he says in verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. The same expression that he uses here in verse 16 of chapter 38, and also in the concluding verse, the 23rd verse of this same 38th chapter. He says, thus, after the battle has been won and the enemy has been destroyed, he says, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let me tell you, friend, when God gets through with these invading forces, there isn't going to be any argument, any debate, or any discussion in this earth as to whether God is God or not. And there won't be any argument about how much power he has in this earth. And he's bringing Israel back to demonstrate this, because he's going to defend what's left. They're not coming out smelling like a rose. They're going to suffer severely in this thing. They're going to lose about two-thirds of their nation in it. But the remnant will be preserved, and the Gentile world will suffer judgment, and the name of God will be sanctified and vindicated. And I'm going to have a ringside seat, bless your heart, when the Lord comes to do that job, along with all other believers. I don't mean I have anything special. You're going to be there too. And then look at verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And again, why does God say here that the prophets of old time have said, I will bring thee against Israel, if he isn't talking about the Armageddon affair? So far as I know, the 38th chapter and 39th chapters are the only prophecies that identify Russia as heading the invasion. But he speaks here of the prophets all having talked about this thing. So again, I can be wrong, but I'm going to have to be shown. I believe that this is the final battle before the reign of Christ on this earth. Now, the reason for the invasion is very clear in verses 11 and 12. What could draw, what kind of bait could God use in Israel to bring such a massive invasion in such a small land? Well, if you look at what's happening in Israel today, and in Jerusalem in particular, you can see the trap is baited. Jerusalem is attractive to every nation on earth. They all are concerned about that nation. But here is the real bait. Remember now, Israel is dwelling safely. They have let down their defenses. They have turned all of this economy that has been wrapped up in military defense to industrial and agricultural production. What a land that must be. you have seen what a land it is now with them maintaining a combat-ready military all the time. Can you imagine what would happen in that land if all of their energies could be turned to industrial and agricultural development? And with that state of affairs, verse 11, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." Why? To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Look, friend, the agricultural production of Israel now is helping to feed the continent of Europe. The Dead Sea has so much wealth, the surface of it has only been scratched. Who knows the value of the mineral deposits in the Dead Sea? One writer some years ago, and it's been the way the economy has gone, that may not stand now, and I don't know how he came to his calculation, but he had calculated that there is as much wealth in mineral deposits in the Dead Sea as there has been money coined since the days of Julius Caesar. I don't know how he reached that conclusion, but that's a lot of cash. And there's a lot of mineral deposits in the Dead Sea. So this could be a bait. The wealth that is being developed, already being developed, and with all of their energies turned in that direction, who knows what might be there for attraction at the time. And one other thing that we dare not overlook. Can you conceive the power and the world control a nation like Russia would have, surrounded by the oil cartel, if she controlled the land of Israel right in the heart of that crescent? There would be no power on earth to dislodge her. And so the trap is being baited, and it's going to finally reach the place that these nations are going to say, well, they can't do anything about it. They don't have any defenses. We need what is there, and it's ours for the taking, and let's don't take a chance. We'll just move in and take possession. And then's when they meet their Waterloo, because they meet the Lord. And that's the end of it. But Russia's destruction, what's going to happen to communist Russia? What's going to happen to this godless, atheistic nation, this hypocritical man that has lied to the world about their treaties, about their ambitions, about their goals, about their movements, about their armaments? What's going to happen to this major world power that is constantly arming itself while they talk about disarmament? I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. They're going to be destroyed in the little land of Israel. As surely as there is a God in heaven. You remember that we have seen 2,500 years ago, God told that land what and when to produce, and it is responding exactly like God said. Now God is going to tell, has already told through the prophet, what will happen to this mighty power of Russia in that same little land. And we'll look in verses 18 through 23. "And it shall come to pass in the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth And all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Now look, friend, I don't want to just keep grinding, but I want you to know I have reason for what I believe. This battle is concluded at the presence of the Lord. There shall be a great shaking in the land at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now call for a sword against him throughout all the mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Now I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. And in chapter 39 and verse 2, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. 5/6 are not going to make it. And if you'll look at verse 8 in chapter 39, behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. All the prophets have said that there's a day of reckoning coming. God is going to judge this godless world. Man cannot sin against God and not pay the penalty. God said, it's done. This is the day I have spoken of. It's come and it's done. And then in verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. There shall they bury Gog and all his multitudes, and they shall call it the valley of Hammon Gog. Let me tell you, friend, there may be some question about when, but there is no question about what. Israel will be invaded by Russia. Russia will be summarily destroyed and buried in that land, and God will be vindicated.